Hello, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to the third Chavrusa we're having together in Sefer Da'as Tefillah. Wonderful Sefer we've been able to learn. Last week we had a very deep philosophical discussion. Hope that didn't disturb too many of you too much. It is a really difficult Sefer Da'as Tefillah, and we're going to do our best to try to understand it. We get back to more of a direct tefillah-related topic this week for our discussion tonight. Let's bring up the source. Okay, everyone. So what we are doing is as follows. The Das Tefillah, Rav Rakovsky, Rav Avitzedek, he has two last names, very complicated, but So he introduced the Sefer. We're still really at the beginning of the introduction of the Sefer by the fact that a name in Hebrew says something essential about the thing. A name is not just something I call myself. It's not just a word that happened to be chosen. That words in Hebrew have a very deep meaning. And the fact is that Hebrew, we know, very often goes back to very simple roots. And the roots tell us something about what that particular word means. So he said, let's examine what tefillah is. So the first thing that he's done is to try to look at tefillah as judgment, palal. How exactly is tefillah judgment? If anything, he said, tefillah really should be rachamim. It's a prayer that a Kaddish Baruch, we don't ask to be judged by a Kaddish Baruch. We ask that he should have mercy on us. So what exactly does that mean? So Rabbi Rakovsky pointed out first that standing before God itself is, of course, putting myself in a vulnerable position. If I don't feel vulnerable when I'm taking three steps forward, if I don't feel like I am in front of a higher power, then I'm simply not davening. I am simply not davening. The essence of tefillah is to feel that I'm standing before the Ribon Shalom. I'll be giving a shiur as part of a special initiative by Yeshiva HaKotel this Sunday, with half the rabbis on the planet presenting. So I don't expect you to listen to me at my time slot. There's about six people against me. But maybe some point you can look up my shiur, which will be recorded and left there. But I'm speaking about that idea of tefillah as simply standing before God. And what the Das Tefillah explained is that even though the goal of tefillah is to get the mercy of Hashem, I'm not asking him to judge me, but in a certain sense, I am opening myself up to judgment. I am vulnerable in front of him. And the reality is that that's true of many relationships. Our most intimate moments are moments where we are vulnerable. There are many, many comparisons between tefillah, particularly Shemona Esrei, and intimacy, because it is a time when we make ourselves vulnerable. It's a time where we can't hide behind anything. And that act basically is an act of judgment. It's putting ourselves up for judgment. But now he speaks about it in a different way in his Hora'ah Shnia. Tefillah, he writes, Hesharat Ha'adam. Hesharat, the root of Hesharat is the word Yashar. Yashar. That tefillah serves to make us straight. Tefillah serves to straighten us out. Vayitpalel Avraham el Elokim. Amar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, said Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, mitchilas ha-sefer ve'ad kan lo nemar b'loshan hazeh. Kevin shispal al Avram Avinu, choter hakesher, a very, very strange language, choter, like chatira, to dig under, to dig through, to cut through the kesher. What exactly does that mean? Well, again, this is an interesting place. It's interesting that the first time we see the language of Vayitpalel Avraham Elokim, where is this by? Avimelech, praying for Avimelech to be cured. That's a very interesting place to have the first place in the Torah to talk about tefillah. But that's for another time. How is this the paradigm of tefillah? Avraham not praying for himself, but praying for somebody else, in this case, Russia. Very interesting that would be the first time the word Vayitpalel, people have prayed before that, but Vayitpalel for the first time appears here. So, mitchilas ha-sefer v'ad kan lo nemar b'loshan hazeh. This language of Palel of Hit Palel has not existed since the beginning of the book. Book is Bereishis, so it's since the beginning of the Torah. Kevan Shispalel Avraham Avinu, Hutar Hakesher. Sorry, I read it wrong the first time. Hutar Hakesher. I got to make it a little bigger on my screen. The tie, the bind, was undone. Not just ripped, it was undone. Somehow the knot was undone. What does that mean? Because Avram Avinu prayed the knot was untied? Hutar Hakesher? That's what the Lashon of the Medrash says. Lashon Tfila lo ne'amar ad parshazu. The parish of the Maharzu, one of the commentaries on Medrash Rabbah. Lashon Tfila lo ne'amar ad parshazu. The language of Tfila was not used until this parsha. Umasha amar hutar hakesher. Why would the Medrash say that after Avram, he broke open the flood doors? No, it says he opened up the knot. He got rid of the knot. Nirish edas ha-medrash. Shaloshon tefila hu miloshon naftule elokim niftalti. That it seems that the Medrash understands that the word tefila does not just mean to judge, but it also means naftule elokim niftalti. What does that mean? That's said by Leah when she's successful in having God agree to bring about Naftali. What does that mean? Naftule Elokim Niftalti. Really, don't know exactly what that means. It's not an easy thing to translate. Uperish Rashi Miloshon Ikesh Ufetaltol. Rashi says that what it means is that she twisted herself. She twisted herself in prayer. She did all of these things, all of these movements, all of these kinds of things in order to twist herself when she prayed. The unkelis tirge miloshon tfila ba'usi be'ischananusi. And yet the targum unkelis said it was a language of tfila. So what did she do? Did she twist herself? Did she pray? Ushneim emes. She did both. And it's not so much that she twisted herself, but she came in so worried and twisted and concerned. Shelukim asa et ha'adam yashar. God made us straight. God made us be able to see things in a straight way. Ach b'chet ha'adam ne'akash ha'yosher v'na'ase b'salto. And yet with our sins, I would say our distractions, our mistakes, we ended up a little bit twisted. We ended up going in the wrong direction. V'hatfila liasher ha'ikesh ulahasir ha'petaltol. What happens when we pray is that we straighten ourselves out. Not just our body, but we straighten our priorities out. V'zehu naftule elokim. This is what it means. Shetchila ne'akashti v'nispatalti b'hashkacha. Originally, I was all twisted and worried, and v'acharkach al yedei ha'tfila hutar ha'petaltol, and because of tfila, I was straightened out. V'al shem zeh nikra tfila l'fisha mesir ha'petaltol. Tfila is supposed to be a correction. Tfila is supposed to be an opportunity to reorient ourselves several times a day. If you've ever wondered why we have to say the same thing again and again and again, we have to have the same experience three times a day. Don't tell me Shalom Rav, Sim Shalom. Okay, tiny little change. We're basically doing exactly the same thing every couple of hours. Why do we have to do that? Why does God need me to go through this list of things every couple of hours? The answer is, I need a correction every couple of hours. My priorities, my goals, my headspace needs to be refocused at most every couple of hours. In fact, of course, we know that Rabbi Yochanan says in the Gemara in Brachas, Ulevai shiyispalel ha'adam kol ha'yom kulo. In a sense, it would be best to always be living in tefillah. Doesn't mean we're not supposed to do anything else. Halavai that we could retain that sense of perspective all the time. But that's not exactly the way that Yiddishkeit, that's not the way that Yiddishkeit works. If you think about the Jewish calendar, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the way that he created his service, was not that I'm supposed to live in Yom Kippur, I'm supposed to live in Pesach, but that I'm supposed to go through moments during the year that inject into my mindset a certain amount of the values and the ideals of the Torah. Freedom is a critical, critical value within Yiddishkeit, but I'm not asked to spend every moment of every day sitting at the Seder table. I am asked to spend a week focusing on it, to spend a week or two or three preparing for it, to spend a night thinking about nothing else and making sure that everything is absolutely scripted so that I get the message perfectly clearly that night. And every day, I'm asked to mention it twice a day. What the Torah creates for us, you could see this very clearly in the last chelek, in the last quarter of the Sefer Derech Hashem by the Ramchal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates for us a spiritual diet. A spiritual diet. We need a certain amount of this a day. We need a certain amount of this a month. We need a certain amount of this a year. We aren't asked to go through Yom Kippur every single day. The process of Yom Kippur is supposed to be once a year a cleaning. First of all, a cleaning of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what most of the Korbanos are about, is a spiritual cleaning of the Beis HaMikdash. And since our bodies are like a Mikdash, we're also supposed to clean our bodies. Right? The different viduyim that the Kohen Gadol says, the first two are for the sins of the Beis HaMikdash, to clean out the Beis HaMikdash of its sin and its tumah. And the third is for us, for our sins. But it's the same thing. Our bodies are like a Beit HaMikdash. And we too have over time developed a certain amount of schmutz. You don't need, despite what the local Honda dealer says, you don't need to come in every day to have the oil changed. You don't need to come in every single day to have the wheels realigned. And in fact, whatever they tell you, you could probably go about double that time and you'll probably be okay, although I'm no expert on cars. But you do have to every once in a while come back, because a certain amount of schmutz is okay. But once you reach a certain level, the machine is not going to work right. The same thing is true with our neshamas. The same thing is true with our neshamas. As we move further and further away from a tefillah, we become more and more lost. Our values change. We forget we forget what's important. We forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the reason why we have to appear in front of him three times a day is because that's maximally how long we can go without jolting ourselves back into reality. It's the very same thing with Shabbos, right? The Kuzari points out that davening is to the day what Shabbos is to the week. Davening is to the day what Shabbos is to the week. It's one of the most powerful things that I ever read. Davening is to the day what Shabbos is to the week. Because we actually understand it when it comes to Shabbos. We actually start feeling a little run down by Thursday or Friday. When's the last time we felt run down? When we daven Shacharis early in the morning and Mincha wasn't until 8 o'clock at night. Right? Do we feel that? They said, I think about Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that he used to daven in the summer months. He would always daven an early mincha because he felt he just couldn't stay away from his father for that long. Unbelievable thing. He missed his father too much. He said he had to go back and talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He couldn't bear davening at 7 in the morning and then davening again at 8 o'clock at night. Can't go 13 hours without talking to his father. So we may not feel that tug in the same way, but tefillah, at least when it happens, even if we don't feel the schmutz building up, as we maybe do on a Thursday or a Friday, we do have to feel that sense of cleansing and realignment when we do have an opportunity to say the Shmoneh Esrei. He says, Hisavsus, Tzuras Ha'adam, the warping of the frame, the proper way of a person, ba'olam, ad ba'o shel Avraham. So this warping of humankind, until Avraham came around, nava'a me'oso hargoshos zaros v'nikur shel ovdei avodah zarah klapei abor yisbarach. What was the reason why, until Avraham, there was this knot that was getting tighter and tighter and tighter until Avraham Avinu? Because of the avodah zarah in the world. And he's going to explain in a moment why that is. The Avodah Zarah wasn't the siman. That wasn't the result. That wasn't the knot. Avodah Zarah caused the knot. B'bakasham emtsaim u'mematzaim beinam labore. Because what Avodah Zarah is at its essence is to have a medium between myself and the divine. Not to face God directly. What the idol did, as many explain, people didn't necessarily believe that the idol was God. They believed that it allowed you to access God. They believed that it allowed you to
connect with God. They weren't all so stupid as to think that the wood itself, even the Nevi'im, when they make fun of the people and they say, you know, what can the wood do? It doesn't mean that the people necessarily believed themselves fully that the wood was going to create something at the Pesel. They believed it was a way to access
the divine. But by doing that, by bibakasham emtsaim umatzaim beinam lavore, by finding these intermediaries with them in God, rachaku meota hatfila hamikarevet adam leelukav, they avoided that experience of being right before God. In other words, people were praying at the time of Avodah Zarah. They were praying. They were praying to God. They were talking to God. But it wasn't having the effect of changing them, of shocking them, of making them feel fearful, making them feel, once again, their eyes open, because they specifically created that barrier to a real tefillah experience. If duhem etotach havayat emet, they weren't able to feel that true feeling, hakirva shel haomed lifnei hamelech, the feeling of standing before the king. Hargashat v'hakarat elokuto yitbarach b'dargat nochach p'nei Hashem. They avoided, they figured out ways to pray, but without feeling like they were standing before God. Sounds very familiar. Sounds very familiar. The times where we're not willing to open up our hearts, we're not willing to dive into the experience of prayer. We're going to do it on a very surface level. We're not going to close our eyes for a moment. We're not going to sing something. We're not going to dig deep down. Umikan harichuk mehatshuva umitikun ha'adam. And that keeps a person away. That causes a distance and does not allow us to do tshuva. Because the primary thing that motivates us to do tshuva is the feeling of standing before our Creator. And what's so amazing about this is that you don't have to know a word of Hebrew. And you don't have to say a single word of davening for this to happen. You literally just have to take 3 steps forward, but you have to think while you're taking 3 steps forward that I'm about to stand in front of the Master of the Universe. That experience itself, ha'amida lefanav yitbarach mideyom ubi'itot tzar v'sorach, every day and when I need him at the crisis, he hamishiva et ha'adam lebaro. That's what returns us to our Creator. Matzav ze mechayev et ha'adam. Ha'omeid nochach ha'melech petachlit ha'ir azu abusha. It makes us stand up in front of him to be a little bit embarrassed. Lehitcharet mima'asav ha'ra'im. Think about what we've done. Lahara lekabalav lihasher derachav. And to get us to think about correcting our ways. Iker hatfilo hi shahadam yishbor ga'avato is to break our arrogance, v'romo hanisa'a, and our feeling so high, v'yishuv la'ashem me'ro me'alolav, and to return to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kan bitu l'muvan plilut. This is what it means to be judged. Ze ha'din v'hashafita ha'atzmit shel ha'mitpalel. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not judging us. We're judging ourselves. But we're not interestingly judging ourselves by going through everything that we've done. This is a type of judging ourselves that naturally happens when we have to stand up in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we have to do that. One of the most powerful expressions that Chazal gave us in order to experience this is the pasuk that they included before we start the Shemoneh Esrei. Hashem svasai tiftach ufi yagiti lasecha. God, open up my mouth and allow me to sing your praises. So it's very interesting. That's not really part of the Shemoneh Esrei. Chazal felt for some reason that we needed to start Shemoneh Esrei with that additional pasuk. So there are many, many explanations as to what the pasuk means and what it's doing there, but the pashut pshat of the pasuk is more powerful than anything else. the Pashut Pshat of the Pasuk. God, open up my lips and allow me to sing your praises. Where was that Pasuk first said? Where did the rabbis get that Pasuk from? They got the Pasuk from a fascinating chapter of Tehillim, which starts with the words of Natan HaNavi to David HaMelech.
The chapter says, I think it's 47, I'm just not thinking right now, no, 51, I think. It says, these are the words that David said after he was approached by Natan HaNavi. We don't know why Natan HaNavi approached David HaMelech to tell him that he had done a tremendous sin.
Whatever exactly the sin was he did with Bathsheba, whether you understand it like Pashut Pshat in the Psukim, or like the Gemara says, it was clearly the biggest mistake that David HaMelech made in his whole life. And he didn't realize it. And he went about for quite a while, continuing on his way, until Natan HaNavi came to him and made him realize the gravity of what he did. And then he recites a Perek of Tehillim. And part of that Perek of Tehillim, where he's crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for tshuva, that he's crying to be forgiven, at the end of that Perek of Tehillim, he says, Hashem Svasai Tiftach, Ufi Agid Hilasecha. Open up my lips. What is David saying? He's saying that, I do want you to forgive me. And I thank you so much because I know you're going to forgive me. But I've destroyed our relationship. I destroyed our relationship. I don't feel like I could talk to you. I'm embarrassed. I did something that was totally unconscionable. Before that, I davened the Shemoneh Esrei. That morning, before I committed that Aveira, I davened the Shemoneh Esrei. And I felt very, very close to you. And now that I realize what I've done, I'm just too embarrassed to talk to you. Hashem Svasai Tiftach, Ufi Agid Hilasecha. Just allow me to once again restore the relationship that we had. The apologies are over. I understand. You said you forgave me, but I still feel like I messed up. And I miss being able to talk to you. So I say, Hashem Svasai Tiftach, Ufi Agid Hilasecha. So, what David HaMelech is saying, and what we say before every single Shemoneh Esrei, is the following. I davened Shachris, and I said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I felt very close to you, and I this and that. And then I left, and I went, and I did a lot of things. And hopefully I didn't do anything like what David HaMelech did. That was really bad. But when I was standing before you, I committed to a lot of things, and I felt very close to you. And I kind of said, I'm going to remain here. I'm not going to forget about you. And then I forgot about you. And not only did I forget about you, but I forgot about you yesterday, and you told me, I'll forgive you, but you're going to forget about me again. It's not the first time I did it. It's a 1,000th time that I was in your presence, and I was in a certain state of mind, and then I had a lapse of my awareness of you. I went into life, and you told me to go into life, but I shouldn't have gotten that far away from you. I shouldn't have stood here. You didn't ask me to stay here the whole time. But I went back into the world, and now I'm coming back to you. And I say the same thing that David HaMelech says. Hashem Svasai Tiftach Ufi Agid Hilasecha. I'm now back at your doorstep. I'm checking back in. I haven't been perfect for the last couple of hours, but I want to talk to you again. I want to continue this relationship. Having to check in with God 3 times a day is absolutely the most powerful thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. I can't tell you how many people make a effort to kiss the mezuzah, to remind themselves of something, whatever it is, when they walk out the door, but they don't stop for a second before Shemoneh Esrei to kiss HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By having to do this 3 times a day, we have to show up, fess up, and report 3 times a day. Any of you who've ever been part of a committee, there's no way to ever get anything done as a board unless every committee chair has to report on what they did over the last whatever. And there's no way to get people to feel like they're part of a group and they have to do something unless they have to show up and unless they have to report. That's what standing in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu does. When I take 3 steps forward, I stop for a second and a flood of reality hits me again. a flood of reality that I've forgotten for the last couple hours. And I try so hard to remember that he's there and it's all about him. And I just, we're human beings. That's why we're supposed to check in three times a day. But that first moment of Shmon Esrei, where I say, Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, I got much further away than I wanted to get over the last few hours. But now I'm back. And now I want to once again remember what it is to serve you. And I want to once again remember what it is to talk to you. The goal, of course, is that our Shmon Esrei should lead into our next Shmon Esrei. The goal in life, great, great, great individuals are able to carry much more of the Shmon Esrei with them from one time into the next. For us, a few minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, maybe. But as we'll talk about next week, sometimes we're reminded of something in the Shmon Esrei as we're facing truth that maybe sticks with us a little bit longer. And that's what we'll have to talk about next time, to try to figure out some specific things that we can learn and we can think about when we're saying Shmon Esrei that we can act on in the hours after Shmon Esrei. Imagine if Shmon Esrei actually did that for us. Imagine if every few hours we actually got plugged back into the source and we were put straight and the wheels were aligned again and the whole system was, our heads were cleared. Even though it wouldn't last for so many hours, it would definitely make a very big difference in terms of making us better people. So that's that Hisharat HaAdam. It is a moment of judgment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us for doing that, and he gives us a lot of rachamim. But by straightening us out, so he's done us a tremendous favor. I have to go upstairs now. I've been speaking now for a couple hours straight, so I don't have strength to have my right now. I'm glad I was able to get on time. I just finished a webinar at 8:30 and then